went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Huntoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Huntoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health, and he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, serving all your healthcare needs naturally. And I'm here with you each week to share some information I feel is important for your health and the health of your family and friends. And when you have questions, I will ask you to go to thealternativehealthcarenetwork.com and consult with any of the providers listed on the site. Each one of the providers offers you a unique opportunity to support you when your health matters. So if we do not answer your questions fully while on the show, please consider contacting any one of us directly for the answers that you seek. My direct phone number is 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com, and it would be my pleasure to answer your questions, to potentially make a referral, to offer you advice, to give you the understanding that you need to take control of your health and get your health back. And let's face it, our health is our most important asset. If you don't have your health, what's the point in living? And so I really appreciate you tuning in and being with us today. The person who helps me do this show is sitting in studio with me. He's here ready to ask me, I'm sure, all sorts of great questions about a topic, and we're going to cover that topic today, whatever that topic happens to be. The man's name is Mark Sabin, and he's just recently back from vacation. So welcome back, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thanks for inviting me back and for doing this show and for addressing so many different issues that really affect people's lives and their health. And you know, in looking at people's health, one of the things that I'd like to talk to you about today is something that affects a lot of children. And I know children is a special, special for all of us, because that's the future of the world. And there are a number of mental disorders that affect children in particular. Autism is what I wanted to talk to you about today. And it's a topic of concern, and there's a lot of controversy controversy surrounding it. It's not really just one thing. It's not a single isolated condition, but it's actually described as a spectrum. So let's begin with exactly what is autism?
Well, autism is defined as a mental condition present from early childhood, characterized by difficulty in communicating and forming relationships with others, and in using language and abstract concepts, and just basically dovetailing well with the society around them. They have a tendency to get trapped in their own little world. They get locked in, if you will, and it's very difficult to communicate with them. It's difficult to interact with them, and it's upsetting for parents. It's upsetting for siblings. It's upsetting for the people who end up taking care of or interacting with or associating with somebody who has autism, not because autistic kids are bad. It's just they don't relate to the world the same way that you and I do.
You know, I was thinking about this show, and I was remembering when I was growing up years ago that we just had the kid that was called kind of the weird kid. He was kind of strange. Was that likely to be something that would now be called autism?
Well, that all depends. There's so many variations. What's important for the listener to understand is autism isn't one specific type of behavioral imbalance. There's sensory, there's auditory, there's terms of how things are heard and how everything is processed through the nervous system and how one relates to their environment. And it affects different kids at different levels. I had a 12-year-old in my office yesterday with autism, and his mom is like, you know what? He's probably always going to be some level of autistic, and what I'm really interested in is understanding how I can improve his health maximally so that he has the best opportunity to live the most productive life possible. And that was very heartfelt, and every ounce of my energy went out to support the mother and this wonderful young man. And we had a great 2-hour office visit, and we learned a lot about him, and mom learned a lot about him with the evaluating that I do. And it was just, I'm looking forward to supporting her goal, which is just to enhance his life any way possible. And I've seen the other end of the spectrum with my two nephews. My oldest nephew, for my youngest brother, he was diagnosed with autism. It's got to be about 6 years ago now, and 5-6 years ago. And it was the worst case that they had ever seen. And we made some changes in his diet. We made some changes in his environment, and he's starting school, going into fourth grade, a normal fourth grade level, reading at a normal fourth grade level, interacting at a normal fourth grade level, and to look at him, you would not know that he's autistic or that he's been given the diagnosis of autism because of the miraculous treatments and care and love and nurturance and support that he's gotten from primarily his parents, but his extended family, myself included, and just the community that they've been able to set up to get him the support that he needs. So everybody's a little bit different. There's no one size fits all. It impacts people differently based upon how their nervous system's set up.
And I guess that's why they talk about autism being on a spectrum disorder, where it could be a range from what you said your nephew was the most severe case they had seen to somebody who might be mildly autistic.
Right. When my brother first took my nephew in for testing at Yale New Haven, I figured they'd come back with a diagnosis of Asperger's, which is not as severe as autism. It's like the least severe on the spectrum that would qualify as autism. But they actually moved him all the way to the severe extreme other end of the spectrum when the diagnosis was given, and it was devastating for my sister-in-law and my brother. But God bless both of them. They got in front of it, and they took very proactive approach, which is what this show is all about, and they've made tremendous changes, and David is a wonderful young human being, and he's fun to hang out with. Mm-hmm. A lot of times because of how he looks. I mean, I'll tell you a story real quickly. One of his good friends said, "David, what time is it?" And he looked at his friend and he says, "I guess it's time to get a new watch," because the person didn't know what time it was. It's like, you know, that's the kind of humor that he has, and it's just... All of these children are very special children. They don't process information the same way as you or I. But even within what is considered normal, people process information differently from one person to the next. And this is just, you know, one of the groups of people that process things in such a way that the healthcare industry has labeled it.
And I guess one of the things that should be recognized about some of these individuals is that they contribute mightily to society, because sometimes the ways that they think it's different, the way they respond to the world is different. But we've seen a number of really important geniuses that have come out of people that have this sort of condition.
Absolutely.
Now, is it common, autism?
Well, in the tri-state area, 1 in 50 boys are born with the diagnosis of autism. That's 1 in 50, and that is a huge number. There's more than 200,000 cases per year that are diagnosed, according to the statistics. I don't know how up-to-date those stats are, but those were the statistics that I understood to be true. And, you know, it seems to be becoming more and more common, which means that there's something in the environment, as far as I'm concerned, that's influencing how these children are being affected and ultimately what's creating these imbalances within their nervous system.
And what are the signs of this illness?
Lack of or delay in spoken language, repetitive use of language and or motor mannerisms, like my youngest nephew, he flaps his hands when he gets excited, and his older brother David has to run around in circles. He has to, you know, burn off that excess energy. Little or no eye contact, lack of interest in peer relationships, lack of spontaneity and or make-believe play. There's always a persistent fixation on parts of objects and a lot of repetitive stuff.
Mm-hmm. Are there cognitive issues as well?
Definitely. Normal cognition is affected, and it creates upset within the information that is not being processed in a balanced way, and so it makes it hard for the person's nervous system, the person who has this difficult syndrome, to process things in a way that makes sense to us. And so we don't necessarily know how they're processing the information, because we don't necessarily have equipment that can help figure out, okay, well, where is the processing delay, or where is the corruption going on, and how do you fix that?
And there are emotional cues that are quite different for an autistic child.
Absolutely. If you're not looking for them as a new parent, you can miss all of it. And since the developmental process of a balanced and healthy child is different, parents will choose not to see that as their child. I mean, every parent wants a normal, healthy child. You know, when the child first comes out, okay, does it have 10 fingers and 10 toes? Does it have 2 ears, 2 eyes, a nose, a mouth? Are both arms and legs normal? Is there anything abnormal about the body? And, you know, once a child comes out and they're considered, quote, normal, that doesn't mean that they're going to grow up developmentally normal, because nobody recognized my nephew as having an issue until he was approaching 3 years of age.
So how is it diagnosed?
Basically, you have to go to a trained professional who, you know, has the ability to evaluate neurologically what's going on with the child and their, you know, responses to how they're being stimulated. And, you know, my brother actually took his son and had to go for 3 days of testing.
Wow.
Before the diagnosis came back.
Wow. And then once the diagnosis is issued, what's the course of treatment? What happens then?
Well, there's ultimately depends. It depends upon what goes on. The whole family has to get involved. You know, you got to set up the house the right way. The beautiful thing that my brother and sister-in-law did was they made their house support the whole process that their son was going through. I think because of the love and the nurturance that they gave their son, that was made a huge difference in terms of his ability to recover and to get pulled back into our world and not be trapped and walled off in his world. You know, there's still times where when things are a little bit out of balance in terms of what's going on, that he'll retreat back into that world. But at least he has the ability to come out and interact and participate in normal schooling and normal reading. And he's honestly has a fascinating mind in terms of where his brain goes as far as focus.
Well, this is really a great conversation. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, a number of other questions about autism.
Absolutely, but please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Are you being prepared for a life-altering medical procedure? Are you facing a lifetime of daily medication? There are other options. Get an alternative healthcare second opinion. Too often people don't seek alternatives until after surgery permanently changes them, or until after medications trigger worrisome side effects. You may end up with countless concerns likely to last a lifetime. Don't delay getting an alternative healthcare second opinion. If you know your options, you might make a different, informed decision. Remember, you can still have the options for surgery or medication. Take the time to meet before having life-altering surgery or taking symptom-masking medications. Learn what you can do for your health naturally. And if you've already had a procedure or are taking daily medication, come find out what natural support you can do to restore your health. If you'd like an alternative healthcare second opinion, call 845-561-2225. Your current and future health depend on you. Call 845-561-BACK before committing your life to surgery or medication. Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, serving all your healthcare needs naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
You've been going to the doctor for years. They order you blood work, give you a pill to cover up your symptom, and send you on your way. The side effects to that medication could not only be dangerous, but life-threatening, and what you don't know can kill you. I'm Dr. Richard Huntoon of the Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. For all the latest on improving your health, I'm here to answer any questions in helping you towards a healthier life. Call Advanced Alternative Medicine Center at 561-2225 or go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today we're talking about autism, this very interesting and unique health condition that's affecting more and more people every day.
More, you know, and it was so interesting in the first segment, you were talking about the results that you saw in your own family and the positive outcome relative to the disease. Now, that your nephew did not, he's not cured of autism, is he?
I wouldn't say that he's cured. I would say that they've managed his condition to maximum function. They've gotten him as close as they can and continue to look to get him closer to, by the time he's 18, be able to go out into the world on his own and not be a dependent or have the ability to contribute to society the way that so many of these wonderful people are able to as they get older. And autism isn't something that goes away. I mean, it's something that the person will have for their whole life.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like your height or your, you know, something as fundamental
something
as that.
Exactly as like your height, or although you do get smaller as you get older.
Yeah, to a certain extent. With this, you know, one of the things you said was that they intervened nutritionally, they intervened in terms of how they manage the home. Obviously, they were working with medical professionals and people like yourself to mm-hmm. help with some of these things. How much impact can all that have for a child?
Oh, it can have a huge impact. I mean, the more focus that you put on something, the more understanding you get and the better solution you can come up with. And I wish my sister-in-law would write a book on my child's been given this diagnosis. Now what? Because she has so much wonderful information and so many beautiful things that a parent can do to help their child be as close to normal, have situations, circumstances, experiences that's going to help bridge the gap between their world and our world. And to sit and watch what my brother and his wife have been able to do for their two kids is just beyond miraculous. It's just so heartwarming. It's so emotional to go over and to just see and know where he was versus where he is today and where his younger brother was versus where his younger brother is today. And it's just wonderful to see. But early intervention is important. The child has to get to a certain age before they'll be able to figure some of these things out. You know, you're looking for signs of does not gesture or point, wave or grasp by 12 months, does not say a single word by 16 months, does not say two-word phrases or his or her own by 24 months, has a loss of any language or social skills at any age, does not babble or coo by 12 months. I mean, these are some milestones that you want your kid to hit, and if they're not hitting that, then the sooner you get this evaluated, the sooner you can get in front of front of it.
Now, does that mean that you're born with autism, or is autism something that you could acquire in life?
Well, there's a lot of controversy out there. There's some thought out there, which, you know, the powers that be like to dispute, that there's no correlation between the number of vaccinations that a child receives and possibly affecting how their nervous system develops. I personally don't agree with that, but I don't have children myself, so it doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not. It's really more important with what the individual parents and their children and what their belief system is, and supporting their belief system, whether they believe that, you know, environmental stuff or vaccines or whether it's something that you're born with. It really doesn't matter once the diagnosis is made. Now it's a question of, okay, what do we do as a result?
And what do you do as a result? I mean, what are some of the interventions that you want to see?
Well, you definitely want to get a sense of what's going on with their diet. You want to get a sense of what their sensory problem is related to. Is it visual? Is it auditory? Is it both? Is it sensory as far as tactile and those kinds of things? You know, a lot of these children can't be actually touched by others because they're that sensitive, and they don't like to look at others because the exchange of energy that goes on when you look at somebody in the eyes is too uncomfortable for them. And it just depends upon who the child is and how theirs presents, and addressing it appropriately. But you want to get in front of it as quickly as possible. The Anderson Center for Autism is a wonderful center that we have here in the Hudson Valley. They have miraculous abilities up there to help support anybody that's been given the diagnosis. You know, you want to find a doctor that is really well versed in autism and knows what to look for and how to assess and how to support and all of that. And you're going to end up, it takes a village to raise a child, and it certainly takes a village of people to raise a child that's autistic.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about communication with the child? How does that work? I mean, these children don't communicate necessarily the same way you and I are now talking.
I'll tell you what, God bless my brother and his wife, because they are the most patient people in the world. I look at some of the stuff that they go through, and from an outside perspective, I know it would drive my patients. I would definitely have to reevaluate where my patient level is, you know, and it forces a parent to come totally from their heart, from a place of love and nurturance and support and unconditional love and taking care of their child and doing what's best for their child and knowing that it's creating a life that you didn't necessarily intend for yourself. And there are some people who can handle that, and there are some people who can't. And I just, again, you know, this show really isn't about my brother and sister-in-law, but just the example that I've seen them set is just absolutely the most loving thing that I've ever experienced.
It's a really great story. And of course, it helps inform this general discussion. Now, one of the things we were talking a little bit about diet and how diet affects an autistic child. So proper eating obviously is important for everybody's health. Are there particular things that are relevant for children who have autism?
A lot of kids have allergies. They have food sensitivities. They have difficulties with wheat and gluten. They could have difficulties with casein, which is a protein found in cheese. They could have had a history of antibiotics, which creates a dysbiosis, which creates malabsorption and creates the basis for allergies. These are all things that need to be evaluated and understood. And I know that when my brother and sister-in-law removed wheat, gluten, and casein out of my nephew's life, that within 10 days, within 2 weeks, he was able to acknowledge what was going on in his environment. And I hadn't seen him in over 6 weeks. And when I walked into the house the first time after they'd taken that out of his diet, he was watching television and I was totally across the room. And I walked in the house and he looked over at me, said, "Hi, Uncle Wick," and then went right back to watching television. And for me, that absolutely floored me, because he'd never once to that point in his life ever even acknowledged me, let alone looked at me. And so to not see me for that long and me walk into the house and for him to see me, recognize me, have the proper cognition and be able to vocalize that, what was involved in that response was absolutely huge.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about supplements? Are there supplements that can help in the
lots of different supplements? There's lots of different remedies. We use some energetics products. We use some standard process products. These are homeopathic and whole food nutritional supplements that definitely made a difference. And you know, the kids are definitely going to need probiotics. I mean, we get exposed to so many different antibiotics growing up as kids that you definitely need your kids to be on probiotics. And you just want to normalize, like the woman who was in my office yesterday having me help her 12-year-old son, she just wants the best opportunity. She's not expecting me to fix her son's autism. She just wants the best opportunity for him to function as close to normal as possible, or what's his best normal. And we're going to definitely do that.
And you're going to do that without drugs. I mean, are some of these kids given prescription medications?
Depends upon what the circumstances are. This child was on minimal amounts of medication, and her interest is to do whatever we can do natural as much as possible. And so that's what we're going to do for her.
And now I've heard that some of these children have trouble sleeping.
They do.
And then there's melatonin is a substance that's sometimes used to help people sleep. Is that a legitimate sleep aid, or is melatonin a drug?
Well, melatonin is a nutrient. Melatonin chemically is basically a thing called N-acetyl-5-methoxytryptamine. It's a substance found in animals, plants, fungi, and bacteria. In animals, it's a hormone that anticipates the daily onset of darkness. However, in other organisms, they may have different functions. And so this seems to help stimulate the brain, to help it recognize that it is time to shut down for the day, to turn the computer system off, shut down your CPU so that you can go to sleep. And yeah, I mean, you know, we don't fully understand the exact nature of what goes on in an autistic person's mind, but when it's overstimulated and it's over revved, we need to do things to help keep the brain from burning itself out, having negative consequences, or keep the brain from being overstimulated, because eventually all overstimulation is going to lead to burnout.
Yeah, and many parents are, you know, they're trying to find their way through this maze of diagnoses and therapies and drugs and supplements just to try to help their children on their way through life. So I think this is a pretty difficult thing and kind of a frightening thing for parents. I mean, you talk about your own situation and with your brother and sister-in-law and the fears that they had to face. So what can you say to people that are facing this kind of tough times?
There are resources out there for you. You need to look. You need to get educated. You need to do a lot of reading. There's lots of information on the internet. There's lots of books that are available through Barnes & Noble or Amazon or any of the other bookstores that are out there. You need to relax a little bit. You need to gather your wits, and you need to figure out how you can get in front of this. The situation can definitely be helped. The situation can definitely be changed in a very positive way. It's important for a parent to not lose their wits when given this diagnosis. There's a tremendous gift in all of it for the parents and for the child and for the family of those people who are affected. It's just important to approach it with the right mentality, approach it with the right thoughts about what it is that you want to create. Get in front of it. Set yourself up with the right support group. And if you, anybody listening, has questions, by all means, please get a hold of me. My sister-in-law would be more than happy to talk with you, to give you the understanding that you need on how to get in front of it. The best way to get a hold of me is area code 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or you can send me an email at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. I'll be happy to hand you off and put you in touch with people who are doing, you know, the most cutting edge treatments for these children. They are wonderful children. They just need a little bit of love and nurturance.
Well, that's really great, and it's a generous offer. And once again, if people have questions for you, I invite them to contact you.
Absolutely. So is there any other questions that you have for me at this moment?
Well, you know, the main thing I think for people to understand that have a situation where they have a child that may be facing autism is that there's help out there, and that there is natural help. There's the type of help and support that you offer to your patients and to the people who come into your practice, but also that if there are people who are not able to reach you directly by visiting you, you're offering those services to them, and it's something that people can do. do, as you said, get in front of the situation, because for a child that has autism, it's a lifetime situation. And there are ways for those children to participate in society and contribute to society, and certainly in their families' lives and in the lives of all the people that they have contact with. So I think, you know, I guess my last question for you would be, how best to get those questions answered?
Again, just call me directly at 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. And again, I will answer your questions, I will find your resources, and I will get you the information that you need so that you can start to take action and take the right action and do what you can to get in front of this. And it's certainly my pleasure to do that.
Well, thank you so much for doing the show and for offering this help to people. It's something we do every week on this show. I think it's a good contribution that you make to the world.
Well, thank you, Mark. I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. I ask you to tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.